He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the, what is today, Friday? Oh boy, it's Friday and it is the weekend review. Weekend review.
We made it.
Woo, and we got a lot to review this week, Barry. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, veteran of the NASDAQ meltdown back in the year 2000. So hopefully I have some wisdom to share with you here again today about what's happening in the market. And, of course, Barry Keit, chartered financial analyst. Dow down 302, which doesn't surprise me, 33,849 is where the Dow is, down 7.2%, almost 8% now, from its all-time high. The S&P 500 right now is down 25 points, 4301. We haven't said that for a while. And getting very close to, like, its last bastion of support here. From a technical point of view, I will keep my followers updated throughout the day who are in my database. You got to go to GundersonCapital.com to receive those daily updates, especially here while the app is down. I'll have more on that in a minute. NASDAQ down 84, 13,268. If it doesn't hold 13,000, I'd say look out below. Russell 2000 down 11 to 1919. That was a very good year. We've got oil. Wow, look at this again, up $2.08. We're pretty heavy on oil stocks right now. 88.69. You're going to be paying more at the gas pump, folks, here in coming days and weeks. Gold going nowhere. The 10-year, 1.80, we'll call it, 1.80. And the risk asset Bitcoin, which was down 109 today to 36,762. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now, Best Precious Metal, wherever the case may be. I would say there's not a whole lot of Best Stocks Now right now in this environment that we are currently in. Barry, I'm just going to throw out an open-ended question here. If Microsoft's earnings, if Tesla's earnings, if Apple's earnings couldn't turn this market around, who can? All right? What stock can? Teladoc?
I think it's you know, hopefully it's a support lines, right? Hopefully there's a support line. I'm not talking about some 1-800 number that you call. Hopefully it's those lines.
But some people may be calling those support lines this
calling
week.
Calling both. Yeah, looking at both of those. But hopefully that's, those long-term support lines, right, will hold and whether it's, So in other words, what's going to keep us bouncing back is going to be some value type investors who come in and see
step
those support
forward
lines,
yep,
or algorithm traders trading,
yep,
right?
Right?
And so that's at this point, I think that's kind of our defense. Those are those real lines in the sand at this point.
Yeah,
that's why I think that technical. One of my favorite sections of the newsletter every week, one of the first spots I go to is that technical analysis area that you put.
It's going to be very, very critical, very, very critical today. I will especially be looking at the yield curve, which is a pretty good predictor of recession. And I'm not saying there's a recession coming, but I am saying this, that I was there in the 70s when Paul Volcker had to put the economy into a recession to stave off inflation. And I just mentioned that yesterday in my final edict to everybody that I sent out via email. And today I see a very well-known investor, value investor, Richard Bernstein from Bernstein Research, Bernstein Investments. He's saying the same thing, that it may take a recession. to curb inflation. Okay, we'll have to see, but he's the second person that has said that, maybe the third, and I'm one of them, that it would not be good, obviously, for stocks. We shall see. We take it a day at a time here. We take it a stock at a time. Somebody wrote back to my morning message this morning. Does that mean sell everything, Bill? No. You know what? I'm a guy who takes it one stock at a time. I look at each individual stock, whether it's an ETF, whether it's a mutual fund, whether it's an index. I believe in doing things one at a time. And, you know, there's buys out there too right now, and there's sells. So it depends. When people say, is that a sell? Well, it depends on the stock. It depends on the ETF. It depends on the inverse funds are certainly not sells right now. And I don't think the oil stocks are sells. So I'm just giving an example of what I mean by that. Okay, well, let's review this week. There's going to be a lot of people listening to the Saturday show, and they need to get kind of a review synopsis of what happened this week. For me, the biggest event this past week, without question, I mean, this to me outweighs Tesla's earnings, Microsoft's earnings, Apple's earnings. No, Jerome Powell press conference on Wednesday. Now, the Fed didn't do anything. They did not hike interest rates. The market's already doing that for them. But his statement that the Fed could go much faster and further on interest rate hikes is what really kind of really put the market. It was already weak enough. I mean, it's a terrible start to the year. And that really put it into a tailspin, and rightly so. I mean, the market doesn't do well. I've heard other people argue, oh, the market does just fine in a rising interest rate environment. Really? Look what happened a year ago, February, when interest rates started to go up. Look what happened to the high-tech, high-PE stocks. They got clobbered. And now they're getting clobbered a second time as interest rates are up about 30 basis points so far this year. So you have a new environment in the market. This is a seminal shift in the market. You've gone from two decades of interest rates going down, I mean, all through the Bush years, all through the Obama years, you know, all through the Trump years. But now we've got a different product out there to deal with, and it's rising interest rate environment. That's going to treat some sectors very well. It's going to treat some sectors horribly. You can see that in the so-called discovery, transformational, innovative stock area of the world. That's the worst place to be. Biotechs, companies without earnings, companies with high PE ratios, companies with high price-to-sales ratios, companies that are stretched to the max and not expecting positive cash flow for many, many years. Those are called long-duration stocks. And long-duration stocks and long-duration bonds do not do well in a rising interest rate environment. They are on the front lines that are being just clobbered, just absolutely clobbered right now. Now, I was around in 2000, Barry, as a professional money manager. This is my 23rd year. And the psychology that I heard back then, and I'm hearing the same psychology today, because a lot of this is psychological, really, you know, the way the psychology of investing. I hear a lot of people that are desperately holding on to their, you know, Bitcoin miners, their blockchain stocks, their biotech stocks, their genetic gene splicing stocks, etc., with the hope that they'll come back. And I hear them saying, I can't sell them now. They're down 30-40% from where I bought them, right? Well, I'm just here to say I heard the same mantra back in the year 2000. And before it was over, a lot of those dot-com stocks were down 97% or gone altogether. So, you know, I can't that's why people
well, and it's opportunity cost too, right?
Yes.
Opportunity cost wise.
Where could you use that money elsewhere, right?
In the interim, it's one thing, even if you're right and they do come back, right? Okay. Well,
there's something that you could do with that money, right, in the interim period. So those are, you know, that's kind of, you know, it's that investor psychology, but, you know, there's a better, if you're on the freeway, right, there's a better lane to be in for a moment. It doesn't mean you will never get back to, say, that middle lane, but we're going to go ahead and get over in the left lane and eventually make our way back over to the middle lane when it looks better, right?
So. And I would also add that a lot of the really garbage stuff, the SPACs and whatnot, and, you know, all these little biotechs that came public this past couple of years, taking advantage of the loose money sloshing around, many of them aren't coming back, okay? Well, you know what? I'm going to write a very important newsletter this weekend. It will go out tomorrow afternoon. You can get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. I've been writing it for 22 years. GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now Week in Review show. I've been a professional money manager for the last 23 years. I've been an analyst covering some individual companies back earlier in my career, but I've been a fee-based money manager to the public now for the last 23 years. I probably look at 1,000 stocks a day. I look at their one-year charts. I look at their fundamentals, et cetera, their earnings picture. So, you know, I probably cover about 6,000 or 7,000 stocks that are in my database. And I think I have a lot to offer in the way of experience in the market and seeing different cycles in the market. Let me just give you an example, Barry. We've had a lot of people that have moved in almost panic-like fashion, move their portfolios to us. Okay, so I look at every one of my holdings every single day. I personally manage, you know, the accounts that I have been given stewardship over here, and I take that very, very seriously. I look at every single holding, okay? I don't look at every single portfolio because a lot of the holdings are in everyone's account or two-thirds of the accounts or whatever. But these new accounts that are coming in, the first thing I do every day is I download all the holdings into my charting software that I use, MarketSmith, so they're in my list. And by the end of the day, I've looked at every single holding that anybody has at our firm. And I get rid of anything that transfers to us that I think is garbage, okay? I have to tell it like it is. There's a lot of garbage in the market. There's a lot of mediocrity in the market. So people transfer their portfolios to us in kind. I don't say, you sell everything and we'll start all over with a blank canvas. No. They transfer it to us just like it is, just like you see it today. And so far this day, today I've sold Amwell, which somebody transferred to us, Argo Blockchain, Canaan, which is a Chinese Bitcoin miner, ChargePoint, which is a battery EV company. You know, they may be good at some point in the future, but they're garbage right now. They're getting absolutely slaughtered. And the fact of the matter is they should have been sold a long time ago, but now they're in my hands. I ain't going to sit around and wait for them to come back. We're getting rid of any garbage that I consider garbage. And then slowly but surely, when I see something that catches my eye or something we already own, I'm either going to put that new person into that position. If I find something brand new, I'm going to slowly build the portfolio after I've cleaned it up, which I kind of consider going into this like going into a garden that's full of weeds and overgrown stuff, you know, it's plants that are way beyond their productive years. And you got to weed it, you got to clean it up, you got to prune it, you got to get the fertilizer in there, right? A little CF Industries. And you got to start watering it, and you got to start building it, rebuilding again in the areas that are going to flourish in this sudden disruption in the environment. We had a phenomenal up year in the market in the year 2019, the COVID year. And these kind of stocks.
2019 and 2020, but 2020, and 2020. The COVID year.
Yeah. I think 19 was the one of the best years I ever saw. And, you know, stocks like Arbo Block or Canaan and ChargePoint, they were in the sweet spot, the speculative area of the market. But now that you've got a rising interest rate environment, it's a completely different ballgame. Bonds are not going to do well. Long duration stocks are not going to do well. What is going to do well? Well, you know what? I can give you one example. I can't guarantee that this stock will do well going forward, but the CEO of Dow Chemical, and I've been harping this theme of basic materials that are needed to sustain life, to feed us, that this and that. He says we've always done well in an inflationary environment. You see oil at $88, $89 per barrel, and you know the battle lines being drawn over in the Ukraine and Russia, which Russia is a very important oil company or country. There's other areas that are doing very well, but I don't think it's going to be. You know, the majority of the market is in shutter mode right now. It's running. It's fleeing. And there's a lot of danger in the market. I don't think the Fed has the power to turn to walk back what he said on Wednesday. And he's not going to walk it back. He knows that they've got to do a lot to get inflation under control. And he was as dovish as he could possibly be, Jerome Powell, on Wednesday. But then he got really brutal in the press conference. And really spoke and laid out their real intentions of, I've seen anywhere from 4 to 8 interest rate hikes this year. That's not good for the home building stocks. That's not good for real estate related stocks. It's good for the lenders, okay, the lenders, the savings and loans, the banks, etc. So you've got to really rethink how you look at the market right now. This is not 2019. This is not Etsy. This is not Teladoc. This is not all those high Zoom technologies. It's a totally different environment that we're currently in. And you know what? It relates big time to your 401k. I have a section on 401ks in my in the newsletter. I had a guy write to me this morning. He says, "Hey, don't forget us TSP guys." I says, "No, I got you covered. I'm going to update my recommendations there for the TSP. You do what you want. I'm just going to say if it was me, this is how I would have it invested right now because things have changed. This is a seminal change. Who knows? You know, we'll watch those technical levels very, very closely. But it's going to be a different group of stocks and sectors that will lead the way this year as opposed to last year and the year before that. In addition to that, I'll just go into this break with this. Somehow I became associated and learned about and studied very intently these inverse funds that started coming on the scene maybe about 2005, 2004. I was one of the first people to understand them. I had a visit from one of the reps at ProFunds, which was kind of on the front line, you know, out there developing these things. Literally, they have an inverse relationship. If you can buy SPY, which is the S&P 500, or you can buy SH, which is the inverse S&P 500. You can buy DIA, which is the Dow Jones Industrial Average ETF, or you can buy DOG, which is the inverse. It's a correlated, just one-to-one inverse. And we started buying some of these inverse ETFs here, and we've really added a lot. Of course, they're doing well on these big down days in the market. They're also good hedges. If you've got portfolios with big gains that you don't want to sell, you can use them as hedges. You can use them as hedges against the bond market. It's all in the newsletter that I'm working on today and tomorrow. Get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse ETFs Now, Best Oil Stocks Now, okay. I just sold a few more here. They came over to us this week, Barry. DraftKings, you know, it was a good idea a long time ago. I don't own it. Somebody transferred it to us. That was a weed I just picked and threw in the garbage. Maybe we can burn all these things at the end of the day, all the weeds we pick. Solo. Solo, I think, makes the smokeless fire pit. Okay. That may be a while before they have positive cash flow. So those are the kinds of things that go into the garbage pail. I'm sorry. I have to tell it like it is. And a lot of these SPACs that went public, oh my gosh, second, third tier garbage. We have a inverse ETF called SOGU. S-O-G-U. That's doing quite well against these SPACs. It's the inverse. Okay, I want to mention something. Barry, how many, don't give me a number, but you've talked to a lot of people in the since the year began, right? A lot of individuals. Right, yeah. What's the general mood? Panic? Fear?
Well, I'd say a lot of it's, you know, indecision, right? Kind of where do we go from here? Of course, you know, a lot of times you see things on the horizon, right? But it's, you know, things have worked, right? So just take those transformational stocks, right? They've worked for a period of time. And then, you know, it's almost, some folks, especially if they're not currently clients, right? It's, you know, they kind of come to the realization, okay, this isn't going to work, right? And, you know, we need a new game plan, right? Think of a professional football team changing coaches, right? It's like, you know, we went from the, you know, run and shoot offense, and it's time to, you know, ground and pound for a bit. So, I think that's, you know, to me, that's kind of the general mood. What's been working, it hasn't been working, or, you know, the other thing is just, you know, things have been changing, and then, you know, the current advisor that I work with hasn't really changed anything.
No.
Right? But I think that one of the biggest values that we bring really to clients is, you know, clients know what we're thinking, right? We're not always going to be right, but we're going to have a good reason for whatever we're doing. We're going to be able, you know, we have the ability to communicate it to clients on a daily, you know, a daily basis through the radio or podcast, through the articles we write for Seeking Alpha, through the weekly newsletter. So our clients, they're in the know. You know, they don't have to, you know, wonder from quarter to quarter what we're thinking. You know, they can, if
or
they
day
choose
to day.
Yeah, if they choose to, they know what we're thinking, right? You know, you get a lot less panic in that situation because, you know, our listeners and clients, you know, they're in the know. And the more you know, the less at least anxiety and or disconnect you're going to have from the market. So.
Yeah, and during times of trial like this, I've sent out 3 messages so far this morning, just quick, just short, to the point. Of what I'm seeing and what I'm doing, and so they might be too much in the know. They may, you know, but normally I don't do that. Normally a weekly newsletter is good enough, but I feel like during these times when so many things are happening day to day, I feel like I even have more, keep them more informed. So, mm-hmm. But look, I've been in the industry a long time. I know the industry pretty well. I know the mutual fund industry, the ETFs. I know how the big wirehouses work. I know how a lot of the independent RIAs work. I think that if I were to just kind of sum it all up, they're much more interested in gathering and closing new accounts than in managing the accounts that they have. I don't think there's very many of them at all that are efficient whatsoever with being on top of the accounts that they manage, the positions that they hold, where the economy is at, what the Fed is saying, and this kind of thing. I think it's more of a one-size-fits-all world out there nowadays where they take a look at your risk. You know, they put you into the same software that most of these big firms use to come up with an asset allocation for you. And if you're 70 years old, for instance, that asset allocation may be, hey, you should own 70% of your portfolio should be in bond funds. The bond funds look horrible. They're right on the train tracks of what Jerome Powell has been saying and what he plans to do. Bonds go down when interest rates go up. That's just the way it is. Now, you can own individual bonds. That's a different thing. You're going to own them to maturity and not worry about the fluctuation along the way. But if you're in a bond fund, you're at the mercy of interest rates. So I'm not a big believer in the asset allocation model, which is tweaked every 3 months, basically, because you became 3 months older. So they tweak it a little bit. Or if you've had a big sell-off in the stock market, then they add to your stock holdings, right, to bring that back in line with your allocation. That's called rebalancing. Well, okay, I mean, you're going to do really mediocre in the really good years, like 2019. It was 2019 when COVID came here, right? January, February of 2019.
Yep, February, yeah, when it made it here, February of 2019. Of course, we started hearing a bit about it in January.
And the market bottomed in March of 2019. We wrote some pretty big articles for Seeking Alpha saying, hey, the market's bottomed. It's time to go all in. It's already priced in a quick recession and a quick little bear market here from COVID. And we were right, and we had a phenomenal year. The market went on to double in the next 11 or 12 months. It was the fastest doubling ever in the market. But if you were in an asset allocation, you know, bogged down by being 60% bonds and what, you don't participate when the market really takes off, okay? And on the downside, there's a false assumption that I'm safe because I have it so spread out. Well, you're spread out into two major areas, bonds and stocks. Those are the two major areas that you are allocated to. They're both going to go down if interest rates go up. The stock market equities are going to go down, and the bond market is going down too as interest rates rise. So that's why I've always been an active manager. I can't sit and watch in an asset allocation and do nothing when I see the times changing, when I see the whole dynamics of our economy changing right before my very eyes. I believe in active management, and I don't believe in being constrained. Okay, so that I would, just in Kathy Wood's defense, she's constrained. She has to invest in innovative stocks that are out there in the future. Okay, and that, like I say, that's the worst place you could possibly be. She's down 55%. She had $50 billion under management a year ago, and I was looking at it yesterday. It's about $22, $23 billion. It's gone from 50 to 23. But she's constrained by, you know, she's an innovation fund, family of funds. All of her funds, whether it's fintech, whether it's the genomics, whether it's the innovation, she's buying those kinds of stocks and continues to buy them. Come hell or high water. And right now there's hell and high water, I guess, in that area of the market. We're not constrained, Barry. I mean, we owned a lot of those stocks. A year ago, February, when the interest rates started to go up, we started to back out and cash in on Teladoc and cash in on Upwork and cash in on Zoom and some of those stocks that did so well. And it went to a totally different environment in the market. Now it's really changing quickly. this is setting in here, and this could be an environment that is with us for quite some time, a rising interest rate environment. So you cannot just sit and do nothing and be inactive, or keep your money in funds and money managers that are constrained. Vanguard, you can't even buy an inverse fund at Vanguard. You're constrained. Your hands are tied. They think that they're too risky, I guess, is their reasoning on that. And it kind of goes against the whole psychology and philosophy of Bogle and the index funds and everything. But, you know, elsewhere you can buy them. They have to be used judiciously. You can't go overboard with them. But there's some very vulnerable areas in the market right now. We've picked on some of those vulnerable areas in the market. And when those vulnerable areas go down, the inverse funds go up. I think you should schedule an appointment to have a chit-chat with us if you're worried and if your people aren't doing anything. It can't hurt. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. We're a virtual company with customers all over the country. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I think in this final quarter, Barry, I want to talk a little bit about the tech sector. I want to talk a little bit about the importance of the custodian of your funds, on who we're custodianed with. And lastly, I just want to talk a little bit about being a virtual office, okay? Number one, tech stocks. I think that's one of the worst places to be. I know they've been the horse that has carried this market. You know, this market has been going since 2009. It bottomed out the S&P at around 660. Finally hit about 4,700 here recently on the S&P. So that's a long haul. And the Dow has come all the way from about 6,600 to 37,000. And we've ridden that. We've been right. I make a macro call every week in my newsletter. I put my neck on the line. We've been right about the market for the last 13 years. We follow earnings. It's as simple as that. And where would you find better earnings growth over the last 12 years than in the tech sector? Okay, now, this is 2021 now. The tech sector also was aided and had the wind at its back because of very low interest rate environment, which makes high PE stocks even very attractive during a time like that. PE ratios, price to sales ratios, aren't as important in a very low interest rate environment. Well, that was then. This is now. We're transitioning. We're transitioning from interest rates that have been coming down really for two decades and now starting to go up. And that is the wind in the face of the higher PE stocks. You know, you could put two stocks side by side. Amazon's probably got a PE ratio of 55 or something like that. Not good in this environment. And over here you've got Chevron trading at 8x earnings or wherever it's at. That's good in this environment. That's a big plus. So overall, I think the number one question I know, with beyond any shadow of a doubt, that our listeners, Barry, and our do-it-yourselfers out there are heavily overweighted in tech. And I think you got to be really careful there. I don't think the prospects – now, there's going to be some winners, and there's going to be the Apples and the Microsofts. We'll see how well they hold up. But it's already taken out most of the tech stocks, the sell-off. And it's starting to grind away at even the big tech giants, I guess we would call them. I just think the leadership's going to come from other areas of the market right now. Okay, number two, the custodian. Our custodian is Ameritrade. They're merging with Schwab. Schwab bought them out, so soon we'll be with Schwab. That's the custodian. They have the custodian. They're the custodian of your account. If you're already at Ameritrade, I don't think we can take Schwab accounts to us.
Yeah, I mean in terms of us actually, once the whole thing moves to Schwab, it's still last conference call I was on with them was a couple of months ago. Still another 18, 20 months out.
Wow.
But it's two big operations. They're two of the largest custodians for independent advisors like us, and they're combining. So it's they've been kind of slow and steady, which is a good thing in terms of getting it right, instead of just mashing it together.
But you can transfer your account from anywhere, and you'll be moving it to Ameritrade. And Gunderson Capital Management and Bill Gunderson and those that work with me will be the only ones that have access to your account. And with all we can do is buy or sell and take orders from you when you need a check and things like that, okay? Or take our fees. We average a little over 1% probably on all the money that we have under management. We're active managers. We're not, computer-driven by a robot. No, it's real people with real experience behind the decisions that are made. And like I say, I developed a virtual firm a long time ago. I was in San Diego for many, 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 many years. That's where Gunderson Capital was located. But I had radio shows all across America, from Sarasota up to Minneapolis, down to Atlanta, over to Dallas, up to San Francisco, up to Seattle, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I still do.
Michigan now, big Michigan group.
So
now that
I just decided, you know what, I'm not going to open an office in either of those towns. And this was way before COVID. We're going to do things virtually, which we have. It makes us much more productive. We can handle a lot more people in talking with you. You don't have to drive downtown. I used to have a downtown office in a tower. The parking was a hassle. The one-way streets were a hassle. Getting your ticket validated was a hassle. The bums were a hassle, even San Diego. Well, now I work from my office in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, other side of the continent. But it's quiet, it's peaceful. I'm on the Wando River, and that's where I can make the decisions. Barry's here in Mount Pleasant. My back office is in Scottsdale, Arizona, and we all work virtually. So that means that you can have a virtual visit or even telephone. There's still the telephone, doggone it, to talk to us. But the best place to start, I guess I'll close with this, I've been writing a newsletter for the last 22 years. It's an education, I would say, on the market every week. It's a buffet. It's a smorgasbord. There's a lot there. I mostly write it for my purposes, to send me down every nook and cranny of the market and the economy so I know exactly what's going on out there. And then I share my research with you. I have the full version of the newsletter, which I offer 2 free weeks. That only goes to my clients and my subscribers. I have a lot of do-it-yourselfers that subscribe to us, Barry, and use our tools. I offer 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. It has been a ritual every Friday and Saturday morning at my home, at my office, where Bill locks himself in the room and writes that newsletter while he's managing money, watching the markets trade. And my goal, number one, is to keep you out of trouble, and there's trouble out there right now. And number two, to try to take advantage of areas where I see opportunity. Look at this. The market is just all over the place. It is all over the map right now. But overall, I don't like what the Fed chairman said on Wednesday at all. Well, 2 free weeks of the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, we do that all week long. Go call us at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Everybody have a great weekend, okay?
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.